This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. And here's what we got this hour. I have a thing a little birdie told me that's going to require your attention and my attention. That's coming up right after Medal of Honor Monday, which we are about to do right now. Remember this? Yes, you can email the show love, hate, death threats. But you can also email the show any Medal of Honor citation you may like or recommend or have a relation to you. That's totally fine. This one was sent in to us here, and it's a doozy. It's from Vietnam. These Vietnam ones always, they're something, those Vietnam guys. So that's what we're about to do. We're about to do Medal of Honor Monday, and then we have some work to do, you and I, some emails, the Harris campaign falling behind with male voters even more. All that is still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But without further ado, let us do the Medal of Honor citation. Let us revere a hero, remember his name, remember his deeds. Let's talk to our kids about him and show them that guy. That's who you want to be like. You want to be like a William Atkinson Jones III, U.S. Air Force.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Colonel Jones distinguished himself as the pilot of an A-1H Sky Raider aircraft near Dong Hoi, North Vietnam. On that day, as the on-scene commander in the attempted rescue of a downed U.S. pilot, Colonel Jones' aircraft was repeatedly hit by heavy and accurate anti-aircraft fire. On one of his low passes, Colonel Jones felt an explosion beneath his aircraft and his cockpit rapidly filled with smoke. With complete disregard of the possibility that his aircraft might still be burning, he unhesitatingly continued his search for the downed pilot. On this pass, he sighted the survivor and a multiple barrel gun position firing at him from near the top of a karst formation. He could not attack the gun position on that pass for fear he would endanger the downed pilot. Leaving himself exposed to the gun position, Colonel Jones attacked the position with cannon and rocket fire on two successive passes. On his second pass, the aircraft was hit with multiple rounds of automatic weapons fire. One round impacted the Yankee Extraction System rocket mounted directly behind the headrest, igniting the rocket. His aircraft was observed to burst into flames in the center fuselage section, with flames engulfing the cockpit area. He pulled the extraction handle, jettisoning the canopy. The influx of fresh air made the fire burn with greater intensity for a few moments, but since the rocket mortar had already burned, the extraction system did not pull Colonel Jones from the aircraft. Despite searing pains from severe burns sustained on his arms, hands, legs, shoulder, and face, Colonel Jones pulled his aircraft into a climb and attempted to transmit the location of the downed pilot and the enemy gun position to the other aircraft in the area. His calls were blocked by other aircraft transmissions, repeatedly directing him to bail out, and within seconds, his transmitters were disabled, and he could receive only on one channel. God. Completely disregarding his injuries, he elected to fly his crippled aircraft back to his base and pass on essential information for the rescue rather than bail out. Colonel Jones successfully landed his heavily damaged aircraft and passed the information to a debriefing officer while on the operating table. As a result of the heroic actions and complete disregard for his personal safety, the downed pilot was rescued later in the day. Colonel Jones' profound concern for his fellow man at the risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty, are in keeping with the highest traditions of the U.S. Air Force and reflect great credit upon himself and the armed forces of his country. Now, I don't have a ton to say about that jaw-dropping story, except I will say this. Remember, I told you I had to go to a baseball game. It was a political thing, a baseball game on Friday night. Well, I had to fly out of town for it. And I was actually in Dallas. And Dallas, right by one of their airports, they have a flight museum. I know there are several flight museums around the country, and you know I'm a huge nerd. I can't help it. I had a couple hours to kill until my flight, so I was excited about going to the museum. I realize other people go to the movies or the bar. I went to the friggin' flight museum. What are you going to do? Sue me. I am who I am. But I'm walking around this flight museum, and they have all these planes there. Fighter jets, they have a bunch of NASA stuff there, but they have prop planes, jet, you name it. They've got a big Southwest Airlines plane you can get in. So it runs the gamut. The planes are all over the place. But on so many of the planes, the military aircraft, as I'm walking by them, I marveled at you pilots. And I'm going to say fighter pilot, but I don't just mean fighter pilots. I'm talking anybody who's flown a plane in the Air Force, Navy, or Marine Corps that involved ground support operations, or maybe you were a fighter pilot, or if you flew on a helicopter, a plane of any kind in the military, as much as I love to give the Air Force crap, you blow me away with your bravery. Because these planes, they're so much smaller than you think they're going to be when you stand beside them. And not only smaller, they have the real actual planes are in there. You look in and there's just nothing to them. And yes, Chris, they're made of nothing. You think, at least I would think, and I used to think before I knew better, before I joined the Marines and read more and knew better, when you look at, what's a movie? Top Gun's a great example. Everyone's seen Top Gun, at least one of them, probably both of them. When you look at those fighter jets, maybe you have in your mind, I did, so if you do, you're not dumb, but if you don't, good for you. Maybe you think in your mind that those planes are in some way armored. I would look at those planes and I would say to myself, wow, that's really cool. Look at the guns, look at the missiles, and you see that pop that pilot in there in the cockpit. He's got to be protected, right? Yeah, no, he's not. And as I'm looking at these planes in the flight museum, it occurs to me, not only does this plane look brittle and look dangerous sitting on the ground, men and women. I want to give credit where it's due. There are a lot of wonderful female pilots. Men and women. That's actually weird. They can't drive, but they fly really well. Men and women, they will routinely get in these aircraft, and you might die every single time. It might be a training accident, but you are in paper-thin nothing. You're flying at high speeds. You're surrounded by extremely flammable things, from the ammo to the missiles to the bombs to the freaking fuel itself. You know how flammable aviation fuel is? Here's a little tidbit for you. You may not know. Many World War II naval ships, not necessarily just from America, although we were part of this too, but other countries as well, many naval ships went down, not necessarily because of the damage they sustained from the original explosion, from the bomb, torpedo, whatever it is. They went down because eventually the flames found their way to the aviation fuel. That is, there's a one story of a Japanese ship, I forget the name of the ship. It got hit by an American submarine's torpedo. One torpedo. The sub had shot a bunch of them at it. I won't go into the details, but one torpedo hits the carrier. It's an aircraft carrier. Okay. One torpedo's not the end of the world. They're taking on some water, but they kind of got the water thing under control. It's not great. But eventually that aircraft carrier went to the bottom of the ocean. Why? The torpedo ruptured the avgas, the aviation fuel area, and the aviation fuel put out a vapor slowly but surely in the ship that hours and hours and hours later, it just blew up. It just blew up. And these pilots, you psycho pilots, you get in these planes and you fly this brittle machine on top of all this explosive stuff. And this story here, he keeps making passes. Imagine burning to death. And imagine being on a plane that might go up in flames at any moment, or just flat out crash, where you get to spend 30 seconds plummeting to the earth, praying, saying goodbye to your wife. And you make several passes to save the guy's life on the ground. That's pretty awesome, right? All right. I have a little birdie who's been whispering some things in my ear about something coming in D.C. that you need to know. And you're going to have to do something. And we'll talk about that something in a moment. Before we get to that something, we need to talk about health. It's one of the things I'm actually really, really grateful RFK Jr. has been louder about, especially now that he's part of the Trump campaign and Trump is letting him speak on this. And I like that health, basic health. And he's criticizing our healthcare systems in the country. Natural herbal supplements are something you need to incorporate in your life as a first line of defense, not a last line of defense. Do you have the vitamins and minerals you need every day? How are your testosterone levels? How's your energy? How's your mood? You know, Chalk has something for you, whoever you are, man, woman, old, young, doesn't matter. Chalk has the most, and that's the best way I can put this. They're so hardcore anti-communist, it makes me a little uncomfortable. And they have the hugest selection of natural herbal supplements I've ever seen in my life. And they are obsessive about making sure they're the best. Get something. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, that we just had Medal of Honor Monday. We had a great first hour. I ended up getting a little bit upset in the first hour, but it didn't last very long. It was fine. I was fine, Chris. Anyway, if you miss any part of that, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, go download a copy of it. A copy of it? Did they say a copy, Chris? A podcast of it? I can say a copy if I want to say a copy. Anyway, go download a copy of the podcast. Hey, Chris.
Can I get a witness?
In case you're wondering, yes, it's on the soundboard, and I would get ready to hear a whole lot of that. Now, so, you know how I tell you things I think and I tell you things I know? I tell you when I have a theory on something with nothing to back it up. I'm very honest about that. And then I tell you when I know something. Well, I know something, and we have trouble coming. It's bad trouble, and it's something we're going to have to address and get out in front of now. Mitch McConnell, as you know, is done leading the GOP Senate. Probably just going to retire, but even if not, he's done. He lost it. He doesn't have enough support anymore. And now they're already campaigning behind the scenes to choose the next leader of the GOP Senate. Whether that happens to be the majority leader or minority leader, we won't know until after the November election, but we are choosing the leader of the next Senate. And I have had now multiple sources who would know, you're going to have to trust me on that, tell me that John Cornyn of Texas is the odds-on favorite as we sit here to be the next GOP leader of the Senate. This is disastrous on a level I can't even properly explain to you. John Cornyn, like Mitch McConnell before him, is a loyal system servant. He will do the system's bidding at every turn. If by a miracle from God, we actually do get a decent piece of legislation, which you really never get, but if we ever were to actually get one of those, John Cornyn would use his position of power to neuter said legislation. Whatever it was, if there was ever anything with teeth that went after the deep state in any way, what's a good example? Defunding the FBI. That's something that has to happen. We cannot have an FBI and continue as a free country. We cannot. If you were to ever actually get any cut to the FBI, I don't even mean defunding it, a 10%, 20% cut, if that ever landed on John Cornyn's desk, he would stop that legislation immediately. That's how hopeless, evil, corrupt, and compromised John Cornyn is. And if the communists ever wanted a piece of legislation through, John Cornyn would massage it to the point where it would get passed the exact same way he worked to pass gun control legislation in the wake of the Uvalde shooting. After that horrible Uvalde school shooting, when the communist demons were doing what they always do, which is jump on the bodies of dead kids to try to grab guns, Mitch McConnell also tried to use that as an opportunity to grab guns. And who did he turn to spearhead the effort? John Cornyn. John Cornyn is the one responsible. Whenever you hear Joe Biden brag about the gun control legislation he passed, and he did pass it, and he does brag about it all the time, you know who you can thank for that? John Cornyn. If John Cornyn is the next GOP leader of the House, you might as well take that MAGA hat and walk down to the local incinerator and toss it right in, because Trump will be able to do nothing of consequence. Zero, zip, zilch, nothing. It'll be executive order this and executive order that, all of which will be overturned immediately by the next Democrat president. If you want any lasting good or lasting change done under a potential Donald Trump presidency, if we happen to get one of those, if John Cornyn is the GOP leader in the Senate, you can kiss those dreams. Bye-bye. Gone. They are gone. You could not possibly find a more disgusting, disgraceful swamp rat than John Cornyn. And to be the leader in the Senate comes with such an inhuman amount of power. I don't even have enough time to break it all down for you on the show tonight, what that means as far as committee appointments. We're talking judges. You know the judges that are busy destroying the country because they always get approved by Republican losers? John Cornyn would have a never-ending revolving door of filthy communists coming through there. The damage would be unending. It would be worse than Mitch McConnell has been. Worse. And this is not some far-fetched thing. I got confirmation this weekend if the vote were held today.
it would be John Cornyn. This is the biggest deal in the world. We're going to discuss why it's John Cornyn, what we can do about it, and break a little bit of that down in a moment, all right? Because we are not helpless here. Before we get to that, let's save a life. Been upset about enough tonight. Let's go ahead and save a life. Remember, the battle for the unborn, it's not just the battle of elections or legislation. That stuff's fine. Ban this or elect that. That's fine. It's a battle to change the hearts of Americans, to get Americans to stop seeing that baby as a burden or a clump of cells or something that's going to ruin my life. Start looking at it as what it is. A God-breathed life, a life inside of a mother. How do we get that truth to people? Ultrasound. It's probably the greatest weapon in the pro-life movement, ultrasound. Preborn, they walk into the highest abortion areas in the country, and they offer these women free ultrasounds. Hey, how about a free ultrasound before you hurt that baby? If a woman lays down and hears that ultrasound, she chooses life almost every time. Did you know that? When you give $28 to Preborn, you're saving a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, trying to keep Jewish producer Chris from turning into a degenerate gambler here on the show in between stories. I'm talking about John Cornyn on the show. The second we go to break, Chris, you know what he's like with money. He's turned into this gambler. Like, he wants to bet on things. Chris, I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't travel down that road. No, not one time. It's never one time, Chris. It's never one time. Back to Cornyn. All right. Cornyn, in case you're just now joining us, John Cornyn is the odds-on favorite as we speak right now to be the next GOP leader in the Senate. I'm going to get to what we need to do here in a minute, but let's discuss the why, because whenever I talk about guys like this, why is this the way? Why can't we have this? And probably, I bet you're screaming at the radio and saying somebody who you like. Maybe you're sitting there, no Mike Lee or no Ted Cruz. No, we need Rand Paul. We need Josh Hawley. We need, but maybe you're doing that. Ron Johnson, pick your senator. Remember how you get into leadership. And in fact, I'm going to tell you a story about this in just a moment. That really, it really drives home how it works in D.C. You get into leadership by raising a ton of money. You then spread that money around to other Republicans who are running, senators, House members, potential Republicans who are running. You're raising campaign money. You spend some on yourself, yes, but that's not where the real power is bought. You buy that power by spreading it around to others. Once you do enough of that, enough people owe you favors. When it comes time to elect a new leader, they're going to remember the favor. I know that's awful. It is awful, but that is how it works. Mitch McConnell is there not because of his wonderful ability to give speeches. Mitch McConnell is the GOP leader because he raises gobs of money and hands it out to other Republicans to help them get elected. That's how you get to leadership. That's how you stay in leadership. Nancy Pelosi, Grandma Vodka, what's her specialty?
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Her specialty is drinking vodka. No, I'm kidding. No, her specialty is raising money. That's how that woman has been in such positions of power for so long. She is a fundraising machine. She raises gobs of money and hands it out to every Democrat running for office, buying favors. How could it be guys like John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell in leadership? They raise a ton of money and they hand it out. Now, let's discuss the why it's not the ones you want. Well, why isn't it Cruz or Hawley or whoever you happen to like, whoever it may be? Why isn't it that? Those guys don't raise that much money. And part of the reason those guys don't raise that much money is they are more hesitant to do things that support the system. John Cornyn is part of the system. a defender of the system. He's got his system membership card. And when you have your system membership card, it's easier to raise tons and tons of money. All this is a vicious little circle. And what I'm trying to say is it's difficult to break that circle. It's hard to get someone in a position of power in GOP leadership who will fight against the system, because to get there, they kind of have to be a member of the system. And the people you love, that guy, whoever you're yelling at, maybe it's Marsha Blackburn, whoever, I want her to run. I want that person you want in there, they don't run for it. They don't want to raise the money, either, or they can't raise the money, and they don't run for it. And so let's get to what you have to do before I get to my own story, a story I told a long time ago, but I'm going to tell it again. Now, right now, is the time to make your voice heard. This is the social media era, and there are so many negatives that come with it being the social media era. I get that. That's why you should go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JesseKellyDC. No, I'm kidding. No, actually, go subscribe to it, but that's not what I'm doing. I know there's all kinds of negative that comes with it being the social media era. I get that. But one of the benefits is you really can speak to powerful people. I watched, I think it was over the weekend, J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is a United States Senator from Ohio. He is probably the next vice president of the United States of America. He said something online. A woman got online. I don't know who she is, and I'm not going to blast her name, but she got online, and she blasted J.D. Vance for something he had said. J.D. Vance, not a staffer, J.D. Vance himself got on there and responded. You can talk to your senator, whoever he may be. It doesn't have to be a phone call to his office, although that's fine. It doesn't have to be an email, although that's fine. But your senator, if you have a Republican one, your senator needs to begin feeling heat from you right now. And that heat had better be no John Cornyn, no John Thune. Just remember, no to the Johns. No John Cornyn. No John Thune. We're stuck with these rhino losers from these red states because red state GOPers are the dumbest people in the United States of America because they can't ever show up for a primary. And when they do show up for a primary, they show up and vote for the scumbag who's already in office. So Republicans in Texas, I'm not talking about you, Republicans in Texas, if they even bother to show up for the primary, which they don't, they'll show up and I'll vote for Cornyn. I saw a TV ad saying he's going to deport the illegals. And they do the exact same thing up in the Dakotas. They do the same thing in the Carolinas. They do the same thing in Florida. They continue with these red states to vote for losers. And it drives me nuts. Anyway, your senator, whoever it may be, if you have a Republican one, you need to get in front of this and let him know he better not vote for John Cornyn or John Thune. And I want to once again reiterate this. If John Cornyn is the next GOP leader, whether he's a minority leader or a majority leader, you have exactly 0% chance to get any legislation through that has any teeth at all against the deep state, because he is a card-carrying member of the deep state, of the system. It will be impossible for anyone, including Donald Trump, to do something lasting and tangible against the deep state if John Cornyn is able to use that position of power against them, and he will. He will. In fact, you could argue this is the ultimate move from a system that thinks it's going to lose the presidency. The system doesn't want to lose the presidency. They want Dome to win. They want Kamala Harris. Go ahead. I want Kamala Harris. That's what they want. But if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, and let's be honest, after tomorrow night, it might not happen.
So you know how those lids are, because this is, well, I'm just going to speak, okay? So this is.
If you can't have the presidency, and maybe even you'll lose the Senate, that sucks if you're part of the system. But the next best thing would be making sure the GOP leader is somebody who will do your bidding and prevent any fatal wounds to the scam you have going. That's really how you need to look at guys like John Cornyn and John Thune. They are shields for the system, the ultimate in controlled opposition, where they'll let you do a little this, maybe a little tax cut there, and hey, I voted for some border wall. You'll get that kind of thing. But if you actually got something that was tangible with teeth to their desk, they would stop it, and the system knows that. If the system can't have President Kamala Harris, the system will happily take GOP leader John Cornyn. Remember that. And now I'll tell you a little story about how all that money thing works. Get a little example from my own life. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, whatever you'd like. So we were just discussing Cornyn, John Cornyn, being the next leader, potentially in the Senate. We need to put a stop to that. And I was talking about raising money and spreading around and why that matters. So I'm going to tell you a story. I've told it before, I think once on the show, maybe twice. But I know we have a bunch of new listeners, so here's a little story for you. A little story time with Jesse. This is a true story. I ran for Congress once. Well, twice. I got out of the Marine Corps back in 04. And, you know, I'm a construction guy. I come from a construction family. I just went back to work in construction. And I was going to community college at night. And that's what I was doing. I was working, going to school, just trying to figure out life. Like everyone else. And I ended up doing a construction project that was way out of town. So I was driving hours and hours and started to consume a lot more political talk radio and started to read a lot more political stuff. I'd always read historical stuff, but started to figure out that this Barack Obama guy is really not good. So I got mad. And having never been involved in politics before, I just decided to run for Congress. I know it was a really dumb thing to do, but I decided to run for Congress. Now, I'm running for Congress, and I'm running very early. Remember, House of Representative elections are every 2 years. They had just had the election a few months ago, and I was already running. And I was running against the incumbent Democrat in Arizona. Her name was Gabrielle Giffords. You remember, she's the one who ended up getting shot, which is freaking horrible, but she ended up getting shot. So I run against Giffords, and I'm the only one in the race for a while, and I'm killing myself. I'm driving to every meeting, every event, wherever there are 10 people gathered. I don't care if it's some lame community event on a Saturday. I am there. And I'm getting to be known. People are figuring out that I am far, far to the right. That's for sure. And it's increasing. The following is increasing. The support is increasing. And it's going well. Well, this was before the race looked winnable. Then Barack Obama starts tearing through the country because he had just been elected president. Obamacare, spending, the works. And the Tea Party movement began to rise. This is the beginning of the Tea Party movement. And everyone in the country, it didn't exactly take some political operative to tell that this is going to be a red wave. When Obama has his first midterm election, there's going to be a red wave here. Well, my seat, when I was running for it originally, wasn't thought of as really winnable. It was a solidly blue district. Well, the Tea Party thing changed the idea, changed the mood on that to being, hey, we might have a real shot at this one. And the establishment GOP, they liked the sound of that. They did not, however, like the sound of me. I was way beyond their control. They said I was irreverent and disrespectful, which that's not true. I was totally respectful. They did not like my hardcore immigration stance, and they said no. So they went shopping for someone else. They found a state senator to run against me. He runs against me in the primary. They throw all kinds of money at him, gobs of money, and I couldn't figure it out. The first night he got in the race, because I was so new to politics, I didn't understand. He gets in a race. The first night he has a party, and I think the number is $600,000, but it might be $500,000 he raised in one night. I think I'd been running for a year, and I hadn't raised close to that in a year. I just couldn't. I'm asking people for $25 checks. I can't do it. One night, so I'm floored. And end up, I beat him in the primary. And I beat him solidly in the primary. Now, Arizona has this funny situation. It's a really terrible situation where their primaries are too late. Their primaries are in August. Well, early voting pretty much starts in September. By the time the primary is over, the general election's here. I win the primary. I defeat this establishment guy. Pounded him good, too. Just blasted him out. It was a hardcore year. It was much more my kind of year than his kind of year. But I have to spend every dime I have to blow him out. I beat him. After the primary, now I'm officially the GOP nominee for the House of Representatives. And it was District 8 of Arizona. It was Congressional District 8. All the lines have been redrawn. It was Tucson, Sierra Vista, the southeast corner of Arizona is where all this took place. I win. I've spent all my money. And now I have to take on the Democrat machine. I have to take on Gabrielle Giffords and the Democrat machine. And she was famously an excellent fundraiser anyway. Democrats raise a ton of money anyway. So it was an uphill battle. Primary ends. No money comes in. My hardcore supporters, my hardcore donors, they were, of course, there. But there aren't enough of those. And I didn't know a bunch of rich guys. I'm from a construction family. What do I know? I don't know any of these people. And no money's coming in. I'm completely lost by this. I'm young, figuring out how all this works. I'm completely confused. I'm the GOP nominee. I'm officially the nominee. Why is the GOP not raising me money? Why are traditional GOP donors not raising me money? In your area, wherever you're listening to the sound of my voice, there are donors. Depends on the size of your area. Maybe there are 10 of them. Maybe there are 100 of them. It really depends on where you are. But there are known GOP mega donors in your area. They're the rich men and women who can be counted on to write max checks to any campaign when they're called upon. They're the guys you bank the money ahead of time. They're the guys, a GOP senator in my state, if I'm using him as an example. This does not take place here, and he's not doing this. But in my state, I live in the Houston area. Ted Cruz is someone I know, and he's a senator from this state. I promise you, Ted Cruz has on his phone the ability to call or group text 100 people in the Houston area right now and get me a max donation for my upcoming congressional campaign. Don't get excited. I'm not running for Congress. But if I was, and if Ted wanted to, he could do that. That's how every area works. There are some people, they're just banked on it. And it was the same down in Tucson, too. Exact same in my area. I finished the primary. I'm the nominee. Giffords is crucifying me on television every day, telling old people I'm going to take away their Medicare and Social Security. I don't have any ads responding, and there's no money coming in. It's gone. And that's when I found out how leadership works, the GOP leadership works, how the favors work, how the money actually works. I'll finish this story in just a moment. Before I finish that story, let me do this. Speaking of money, you trying to save any right now? Look, if you're flush with cash, this probably doesn't apply to you unless you just feel like funding dirty commies. But if you're trying to save some money, you should switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Pure Talk has a million benefits. One, it's not Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Those are horrible companies. They hate you. So that's one. But two, Pure Talk saves you money. You know why those cell phone companies are so expensive? Because they have a new store on every single street corner. Pure Talk cuts that out. You handle it all by phone and mail. And your bill, my bill got cut in half when I switched to T-Mobile. Do you want to save money right now? Don't we all need to save money right now? Pure Talk's how you do that. Keep your phone too. Keep your number. It's not like it's any trouble to you at all. It's a phone call. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more. That saves you 50% off your first month. All right, I'll continue my story next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.